it's played, as it's sung, as it's declared. And we just say, Lord, we need you. We need you. I thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. And so, Holy Spirit of God, come and breathe on us this morning. In Jesus' name. Over my spirit, I pray, fathomless billows of love. Amen. Alan Morris is going to read our call to worship today. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4.
You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. The Lord God is an everlasting rock.
Amen. My hope is built. We've done this song recently, but I kind of feel like it's a theme song for the season that we're in right now. It's really, really good to remember that Jesus is a solid rock. All around us is shifting sand, but we are going to, we're going to stand on Jesus. Those of you who are here, you're welcome to stand. You're welcome to stay seated, however you feel comfortable. But if you want to stand, you can, but just do whatever you feel is comfortable. But my hope is built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. You may be seated. Our prayers this morning, I just want to announce, I talked with Bonnie Williams. She sent me a message, and I talked with her last night. And Bonnie Williams has just been diagnosed with lung cancer. And so, as you can imagine, that's hard. And that's really hard to hear that news. And so we're going to pray for Bonnie this morning. She's got tests, and they're going to figure out what to do and the game plan with that. But we just need to surround Bonnie and Jerry right now with our prayers and with our love. And so send them a note. Give them a phone call. Just surround them with your love right now. Father, we thank you. Your oath, your covenant, your blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the the solid rock I stand. All other ground is shifting sand. All other ground is shifting sand. And Lord, I just have that scripture so strongly in my mind right now, that you are the Alpha and you are the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. When John was weeping and the scroll, Lord, that holds all history, no one was found worthy to open the scroll. Jesus, you came and you were worthy. I thank you that you hold all history in your hands. And Lord, as things shift, as things get hard, Lord, I thank you that you do not weep. You are not grieved, Lord, are not you grieve, but Lord, you sit on the throne. And Lord, your name is faithful and true. And so, Lord, we come to you. We thank you, God, that you're a healer. And Lord, I thank you that you promise us that even though we walk through a dark valley, you are with us. And so, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ for Bonnie this morning, that you would be a shield all around about her. We pray for Jerry, Lord, and we just speak your peace on them right now. And Lord, we ask healing. We ask for good report. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the hot spots that's shown on your bones. And Lord, we just ask you to touch and you to heal her right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak peace. We speak favor. We ask wisdom. But Lord, they need a touch. They need a touch from you. So Father, we just ask for you to come and you to bring healing in the name of Jesus. All cancer in her body, Lord, you just take and you just take it away. We just speak peace to those bones, healing to her body, healing to her lungs right now in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the Eubanks family and the passing of Ben. And Lord, I thank you that you are a comforter. That's who you are. Holy Spirit, that's one of your names, is comforter. And so, Lord, your word says that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And Lord, we just ask your peace. We ask your healing. We ask your comfort. In the name of Jesus, just surround that whole family. And Lord, we've had several in our congregation that have been diagnosed with COVID. We have Susan Richardson, Dan and Susan Richardson's daughter, Jolie. We have Jacob and Danielle Emling. And Lord, we just ask healing on them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that there would be, that you just heal the lungs in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray protection over baby Henry in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Abby and Adam and Sally who are in quarantine. Father, I just speak peace over them, that there would be no fear. And Lord, we just ask mercy. We ask peace. And all those suffering from COVID, all that we know, Lord, who are suffering from COVID, Lord, we just ask healing. We ask your peace. Thank you, Father, that we don't need to be afraid. You are the Prince of Peace. You will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are stayed on you. So, Lord, we ask your healing. We ask your peace in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for Norm. God, we ask healing on him in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray wisdom for the doctors. We ask healing on Norm. Father, we pray for Jean Opp, friend of Danny and Janet Kirk. Father, we ask healing on her. Jesus Christ. We ask peace. Lord, all that are suffering right now from physical ailments, your word says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. So, Father, all the oppressed, all of the sick, God, we lift up to you, and we thank you that you are a healer. We ask healing to come now to body, mind, soul, and spirit. Father, we pray for our leaders because you've exhorted us to do that. Father, we pray for President Biden that you would bless him in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you would give him a heart to honor you and to fear you. We pray, Father, you would surround him with wise counsel in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for Governor Pritzker, that you would give him wisdom, that he would be a man who honors you. And Lord, bless him. Give him wisdom. We pray for our local authorities in Southern Illinois, God, that they would be men and women who would honor you, that would bow the knee before you. Father, we ask mercy. We ask mercy on our land in the name of Jesus Christ. God, help. God, heal. God, have mercy. We thank you that you are the soon incoming King. We thank you that your word is true, that you are not a liar. You are not a man that you would lie. Everything in your word is true. Jesus, Jesus, you are the truth. Your word is true. Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of truth. So, Father, come this morning and guide us into truth. We love you. We honor you. We bless your holy name. We pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. Father, I thank you so much for the believers in this church who've been faithful all of these months, Lord, in their giving. And Father, I just pray blessings on the givers, blessings on the offering. We offer it up to you as worship. God, give us wisdom in the use of it, and we glorify you, Lord, with our wealth. In Jesus' name, you are worthy, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Probably is for you too, and I'm not one that shifts things very well. And so it's hard for me to go from what we've been doing. It's hard for me. So I'm a little more nervous today than usual. So, but it's really, really, really good to see you all this morning. As Richard was playing that, leaning on the everlasting arms, I've done. I think it was last week, but the weeks are all blended together, aren't they? Several Facebook Lives on peace. And as he was playing that, I was just reminded of a psalm, and I want to read that to you this morning before I get into the sermon. Psalm 131, I think it's either Psalm 131 or Psalm 133. I just want to read this over you this morning. It's Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I've calmed and child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. More than once over the last few weeks, the Lord has brought this psalm because all of us have been, what is happening? What's happening in our country? What is going on? What is happening? And we've tried to, if you've tried to keep up with it, it's just, it's crazy. It's been nuts. And one of the things the Lord personally spoke to me was, this isn't a time to figure it out. This is a time to just abide in me. And Psalm 131, don't occupy myself with matters too great for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. And a weaned child comes to his mama. A weaned child comes to his daddy, not for something, but just because they want to be held. And that is what I feel like your Father, our Heavenly Father, wants for all of us right now. He wants us to come. And if you're anxious, if you're afraid, if you're troubled, he just wants to come and he wants to envelop you with his love. And that's what I feel like the Lord wants to do today. I was reminded of a very familiar, it's a Christmas. We tend to just think about it in Christmas. But Isaiah chapter 9, those titles in Isaiah chapter 9, a son will be given to you, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And those titles are more than just titles, you all. Those are the names of Jesus. And I really want to meditate and just go deep this morning on Prince of Peace. That was prophesied about Jesus, that his name was going to be called Prince of Peace. That's his name, Prince of Peace. And for so many of us, we tend to think of those titles maybe only at Christmas. We tend to think of those things as up here, but we live our lives down here and we're running around, and very few of us appropriate that and encounter that. But those are things that the Lord, we can walk in that, you all. That's our inheritance. That's what Jesus died to give us, was peace. And peace is more than just having everything happy and good in your life. Peace is Jesus. Peace is a person. And all hell can be breaking loose all around us, but we can have peace. And so I want to, Psalm 61, but thinking about Jesus as Prince of Peace, I want to look at Psalm 61, Psalm 62. Psalm 62, I told y'all I was nervous this morning. Psalm 62. And I don't like to preach same sermons again. And this psalm came to mind. And I was like, haven't I preached on that? Like here at Du Bois? And I was looking, and you all, I preached on this last year, almost exactly a year ago. And I actually preached 3 sermons on it. And so I will post later on Facebook, and I can send it to you via email, those links, because I'm not going to do what I normally do in kind of exegesis and looking at this thing as a whole. I kind of want to pull out some themes so it's different from what I did a year ago. But what does it look like to have Jesus as our peace, as Prince of Peace in our lives? Is that just kind of a pipe dream? Psalm 62. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your name is Prince of Peace, that that's who you are. And Lord, you died to give us peace. And Lord, I thank you that our experience doesn't dictate your character. And Lord, where our lives don't line up and where we haven't encountered peace, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would shine the light on the why. And Lord, that we would be transformed by your presence, by your word, where we have been anxiety-ridden, fear-filled people. I pray that that chain would be broken today in the name of Jesus Christ, and we would encounter you as Prince of Peace. Holy Spirit, come. Anoint me. Give me the words to say to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Be Prince of Peace to me today, Lord, as I preach. I just give you my words. Thank you. This isn't a performance. And Lord, I just give it all to you. Holy Spirit, come. May we encounter you in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you, all of you, attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence, they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balance as they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. It's really easy to read a psalm like this and think, well, you know, David, find rest on my soul in God alone. Yeah, he probably wrote that during a peaceful time in his life. But scholars think that David wrote this when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. And his son was trying to usurp the throne, was trying to take the throne, and he ran David, and David had to run and leave. And I know the word of God is true because I've encountered him in it, and it's true. But I also know it's true because the Bible never sugarcoats things. And you think, well, you know, my family's pretty messed up. You know what? David's family was pretty messed up. You read about David's family and all of the things went on, and Scripture doesn't sugarcoat the saints. Abraham was a man that made mistakes. David was a man that made mistakes. Simon Peter was a man that made mistakes. And so we can read about men and women in here and be like, wow. And the temptation is to be like, wow, they really messed up. But you know what? We mess up too. And because God is a redeemer, he can redeem our lives. And so David's story it's a messy story. And his family was very, very broken. And so think of the betrayal. Think of the anger. Think of the hurt that David must have been going through. And so he wrote this during a time of great turmoil, during a time of great anxiety, during a time when he's like, you know, what is going on? And so the lesson that we can learn from David here is that when all hell is breaking loose, everything has fallen apart, what can be our experience? And David, in verses 1 and 2, he quotes a profound truth. This is truth. Our experience doesn't dictate this. This is the truth. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. And that's a theological truth. And all of us, when we go through things, Bonnie Williams right now, Jerry, as they're walking through that, I've had to do that with my own stuff, with my mother's death and my own journey, and you all have had to do it too in what you have gone through. We have to take the word of God and say, all right, Lord, this is my circumstance, but what is true? Your name is faithful and true. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. And so we take the truth of the word and say, this is the truth. And we have to speak it out of our mouths, and we have to appropriate it, and we stand on it. And David does that. He quotes truth. And this image, these aren't images that really speak to us, but he only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. He uses powerful metaphors there. And I've listed on the notes that I sent you scriptures that talk about him being a refuge and him being a fortress. Those were safe places. David, before he took the throne, King Saul was trying to kill him. And David would hide in caves. And that was a refuge for him and a safe place. And David is using these as metaphors that when the enemy comes against us, when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel all of the things that we feel as we live in a broken, fallen world, we can go to the Lord and he can be our rock. He can hide us. He can be a shield all around about us when everything else is going on. He's a shield. David wrote and he said, "Thou, O Lord, you are a shield about me. You are my glory and you are the lifter of my head." And fortresses were set high. So battles, ancient battles, if you had the high ground, you were basically going to win, unless they could besiege that and you couldn't get food and supplies, because the enemy couldn't reach you when you're on a fortress. And so David is using these ancient military terms, these things that he had experienced. Lord, you are my rock. I can stand on you and I'm not going to sink. You are my rock and I can go in the cleft and you can hide me from my enemies. Lord, you've set me high. You've given me a fortress. The enemy cannot reach me. And he's used that as a metaphor. And as Christians, you and I, Jesus' blood, the Passover lamb in Exodus, they put the lamb, the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and the spirit of death didn't enter in where they put the blood. And Jesus is that for us. If we encounter and we believe in Jesus, the blood of Jesus protects us. And we don't have to be afraid because he's a shield all around about us. Jesus is our protector. We're hidden away from the enemy by the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet, we tend to trust, not tend, that's not a very good word to say. Sometimes we trust in things other than the Lord. We have this truth, we know, and this word there for salvation. David says, "Lord, you're my salvation." Jesus is our salvation. They say in Acts that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, Jesus Christ is our shield. He's our protector. He is our Savior. But the temptation for us is to trust in things other than the Lord. I want you to flip over to Luke chapter 18. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 18. There's a man that comes to Jesus. He's a good guy, and he comes to Jesus. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. A ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, looking at him with sadness, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Well, then who can be saved?" He said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." And Peter said, "We've left our homes and followed you." And he said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." Jesus knew that we are a people that tend to believe in, and we put our hope in ourselves. We put our hope in things. That's part of the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Eating of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. What happened when they did that was human beings, and it came down to all of us, we decide we want to call good. We want to call evil. We want to live our own lives. We don't want anybody telling us what to do, and we decide what is good, and we decide what is evil, and we decide what is true. And so we start putting our trust. We become the gods of our own lives. We start doing what we want to do, and we're in total rebellion against the things of God. And then even as some people attend church, they come to church, they think they can pray a prayer and that they're a Christian, and yet their lives don't change. They're not born again. They're not changed on the inside. And we cling on to things. We cling on to, "Well, I go to church. Well, I obey the laws," just like this guy. "What must I do? What must I do, Jesus? What must I do?" And the only way we can be saved is believing in Jesus, believing in him, that he died on the cross, that he rose again, and believing in him, and not just having a mental assent to that. It's not just one thing. It's following Jesus. It's yieldedness. It's letting him have our whole lives. And Jesus, for this one man, he put his thumb on the one thing. On the one thing. And Jesus will do that to all of us. What is the one thing? Sometimes for some of us, it's more than one thing that we're trusting in. And even as we grow in the Lord, and this has happened in my own life, it's really easy to become legalistic. And we think, well, okay, I'm saved, but then I've got to do something to earn God's favor. If I just pray enough, if I just read the Bible enough, if I do this, some of us, we can get really legalistic, and we forget about grace. It's by grace that we've been saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's Jesus and Jesus alone, and we are loved, and we are forgiven, and it's a free gift, and we receive it. And as we receive it, we are to follow him. We're to follow him, and we're to do what he does, and we're to yield to him and let him change us from the inside out. As we are born again, you all, he will change us from glory to glory. It's a journey with Jesus. It's a journey. What I believe, one of the things that God is doing in this hour, all during this COVID journey, he's shaking us, isn't he? He's shaking us. He's shaking us as a people. He's shaking us as a church. He's shaking our nation right now. What are you trusting in? What are we trusting in? Are we trusting in a political leader to save us? Are we trusting in our history to save us? Are we trusting in our morality? Are we trusting in our constitution? Are we trusting in our guns to save us? What are we trusting in? Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to idols and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. As we begin to come to the Lord, and we come to him, and he is holy, and he is righteous, and we are born again, and we come to him, you all, he wants to change us. He wants to change our hearts. Those things that we've trusted in other than him, he wants to change us. 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, will turn and repent from their wicked ways. Many of us don't even know what we need to repent of. We think other people need to repent, but we don't think we need to repent of anything. We need to repent of our idols. What are our idols? Those things we trust in rather than Jesus. Those people we trust in rather than Jesus. And he's dealing with all of us right now on that. And we have to get this right. We have to surrender. We have to come. We have to yield to him. We have to give him our whole lives. David, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. He is our salvation. He is a rock. He's a fortress. That's true. That's the truth. Jesus is the only way. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. There's no other name by which we must be saved. Jesus and him only. Flip down to verses 5 and 6. For God alone, O my soul, I'm back in Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verses 5 and 6. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. There's a very subtle difference in verses 5 and 6. I have it on your sermon outline if you have that. I want you to look at the differences. I have 1 and 2. For God alone, verse 1, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Look at verse 5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. In verse 1, it's a statement. It's truth. This is truth. In verse 5, he appropriates that truth. And he says, okay, Lord. And he tells himself, it's a command. It's not just a statement anymore. He's saying, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. There is truth. Jesus is the truth. Salvation is found in no one else. But you have to appropriate that. You have to believe that. And David does that in verse 5. He says, okay, Lord, this is true, but I'm going to make it mine. I'm going to believe in it. Lord, I'm going to trust in you. Oh, my soul, wait in silence. And then in verse 1, it says, from him comes my salvation. In verse 5, it says, for my hope is from him. Salvation in verse 1, it's hope in verse 5. As we are saved and as we come to Jesus, we have hope. And it's more than, I love snow. Some of you know that. I love snow. And I'm really holding out for one of our big March snowstorms. I'm holding out for that, man. I'm ready. I'm ready. Got all these winter clothes left over from Massachusetts. I want to go play in the snow. I want to run in the snow. I hope it snows. I want more. I want snow. We use that word hope in that way, don't we? I hope for this. I hope for this. But biblical hope is different because it's an expectation of what God has already done. Peter says we've been begotten again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we hope because every promise in this Bible is true. We can hope in it because Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. And so we have hope. We have expectation. And so David says, my salvation comes from him in verse 1. In verse 5, he says, my hope is in him. My expectation is in him because I've encountered him. I've tasted and I've seen that he is good. Everything that he has said, he will do. Find rest, oh my soul, in God alone. My soul waits in silence for God alone. My hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. He only is my rock and my fortress. What are those things we're trusting in? Back to idols again. And David says, Lord, my only hope is in you. My son has taken the throne. I have these promises. But Lord, my life, this is out of control. But Lord, only you can help me. And all of us have to come to that point in our lives that we've tried every resource. We trusted in other people. We try to control things. Sometimes we try to manipulate things because we feel out of control. But until Jesus is only, he's the only thing you have, that's where peace is. Not control, not manipulation, not in other people, not in wealth, in God and God alone. And for some of us, he has to strip all of it away before we can find him. And my prayer for you is that's not going to be true for you. And that's not going to be true for us. Because God wants our hearts. He wants our allegiance. And the old timers called Holy Spirit the hound of heaven. He's after you. And he's after your heart. And he's after the heart of our nation right now. And we need him. And we have to get to the point or God's going to continue as a good father. As a good father, he disciplines those he loves. Those that are running after idols, he's going to keep taking them away and taking them away and taking them away. And we have a choice. We can either get very hard-hearted or we can yield and surrender. Psalm 23. I love this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what the Hebrew says in that? Surely goodness and mercy. That's the word hesed, faithful, loyal love. Surely goodness and faithful love will run after me all the days of my life. It's running after you. And so many of us are running after other things. We're running. God's running after us, but we keep running, and we just need to stop and let his love overwhelm us, and let his love overtake us. He wants you. He wants your heart. What does Jesus have to say about peace? Hear the word of the Lord. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take heart, take courage. some of us have a thorny heart. And Jesus himself said that be careful, because you could allow the cares of this world, the pursuit of wealth, and pleasure to choke out the word of God in your life. So if you surrender to Jesus, what's the soil of your heart like? We have to take time, you all. We have to turn off the noise. And we have to. David, God alone and coming. You do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. You're not praying. You're not reading the scripture. No wonder you don't have peace. Jesus himself had to take time, and he spent time with the Father. The writer of Hebrews says that when Jesus was on earth, he offered up loud cries, wails, and petitions. There's a posture in prayer where we just cry out to him, God, help. It's okay to wail in your prayer. It's okay to get loud when you pray. Jesus did that, and we need to travail. We need to travail for our country. We need to travail for ourselves. We need to travail. How is your heart? What's the soil of your heart? And number three, some of us have had traumas in our lives, trauma, that fear has come in, and we don't know how to break out of that cycle. You struggle with fear because of trauma. When you talk to me, we could pray through that together. I've had friends do that to me in the last year and a half. I've lived most of my life up until that point in fear and turmoil, and that is not the inheritance that Jesus died to give. And you can be delivered from that thing. That is not what Jesus died to give you. If there's trauma in your life, just encourage you, Lord, come into that place. Come into that place and bring healing. Invite the Spirit of Jesus in to heal you. One of the beautiful promises in Isaiah 61, Jesus' first sermon that he gets up and preaches at Nazareth, he quotes Isaiah 61. The Spirit of God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. That's part of the ministry of Jesus. He wants to heal you. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. John, Revelation chapter 1, says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I've been thinking about that a lot in the last week. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. God created a Sabbath day for us, a day of rest. For some of us, that can't be Sunday. But I encourage you to take Sabbath seriously. We need a day. 6 hours, 12 hours, where we just set aside everything and we rest in the Lord. If you're not doing that habitually, we need to. We need to. We need a Sabbath day. Nicole and I went down to Fern Cliff on Wednesday and just spent the day in the woods. That's my happy place. That's my place where I just encounter the Lord. Whatever you need to do to encounter him, to just get peace in your heart, Jesus died to give you peace. Guardians of the soil of our heart. And we need to lay ourselves before the Lord. Lord, what am I trusting in that's not you? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need him, church. And he died to give you peace. That's not your life, Lord. saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen and help thee and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathways shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose. One of the ways you can translate, find rest, O my soul, in God alone, is to rest, to be still, and to repose. That's an old English term for just reclining. And in John, you know how John refers to himself in his own gospel? The one whom Jesus loved. The one whom Jesus loved. Something that was arrogant, that John called himself that. No, y'all, that's identity.